Blog Talk Radio. Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know he could live in your heart if you invite him in? In the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart.
Put your hands together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. Oh, happy Resurrection Sunday, my brother, my sister. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The Bible tells us to give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because he is good. Why? His mercy is everlasting. And guess what? His truth, yes, it endures forever. Good evening to our Blog Talk family. Welcome to the Light of Portland broadcast. I am your host, Pastor Kimberly Black. And can I say it is an honor, it is a privilege to come and sit with you in the living room, by your bedside, ride in your car, or sit with you on the job while you're at work. It is my pleasure. And I count it a joy that you've chosen to spend this next hour with us. It is such a, we had such a beautiful day, but I dare not want to lift up our brothers and sisters that are in Louisiana right now having tornadoes and having rain and wind blowing. So it's just, it's going bad there in Monroe. And so we want to keep them lifted up in prayer tonight. We just truly thank God for this opportunity to share with you. And we thank God for the Butterfields who have blessed us with this opportunity to come and to share with each of you every week we are here. I hope you tell somebody about the good times that we have on Blog Talk every Sunday night at 8 p.m. because we truly do have a good time in the Lord. I hope you tell somebody about our coming together and our time of sharing, our time of meditation and our time of being with God and being with each other. We just truly thank God for what the Butterfields have shared with us. We thank God for our co-labor in the gospel, Pastor Sherelle Pennington, our sister, our friend. We honor the woman of God, and we just truly thank God that she started this for us. And when she got ready to go back to Georgia, she said, okay, Pastor Black, it's all you. Amen. You know, sometimes people have to push you into the next level. Sometimes you're not even aware of what's going on until it has happened. Don't be mad. Just be glad about it. Amen. Be glad about it. And so I honor the woman of God, and to our own elder of the house, Elder Dante Farmer, who works with us right here at the Greater St. Stephen's Missionary Baptist Church in the City of Roses. We honor each of you. And to Archbishop Ruth Smith, who is the presiding bishop, the international presiding bishop. And we thank God for what Mother does. Mother prays for us. She speaks life into us, and we appreciate her for her time that she gives to us to mother us and to help us be the men and women of God that God is calling us to be in these last and evil days. And I thank God for each of you again, because you didn't have to call in. Amen. You could be full and ready for a second round of some good food, because I know that you all cooked up some good food and you had a great time this afternoon, family. Amen. And for those of you that live alone, I hope and pray that you had a great time with the Spirit of God resting and ruling and abiding with you and keeping you company. Don't you know he'll keep you company when you are by yourself, so you're never alone? Amen. So we want you to be encouraged tonight, my brother, my sister, that are living alone tonight during these times of being in shelter place. We're praying for you. We're praying that God will keep your mind, that he would keep you, and that you would continue to meditate and to study his word and be encouraged. Amen. So we're just truly thankful to God for tonight and bringing us together. This was a very unusual Easter, but I can only imagine what the first Easter was like. a very unusual Sunday morning. Yes, very unusual. Friday night was just horrible, marching Jesus from judgment hall to judgment hall and finding no fault in him, but yet and still, that was Thursday, but yet and still on Friday you decided to crucify him and hang him to the cross as if he was a common criminal. Oh, my goodness. And then Saturday, you know, they had to bury him. They put him in a grave, a borrowed tomb, and they sealed a rock inside of a rock with a rock because they knew what he said earlier. He said that if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up again. He wasn't talking about the building in which they were worshiping in. He was talking about he himself. Yeah, I can only imagine what it was like that Saturday. Jesus going down to hell and taking the keys from Satan. But saints, we rejoice today because the Bible says it was early Sunday morning when the women went to the grave to prepare the body and the stone had been rolled away. And then they walked inside to find that the body was gone. They ran to tell the disciples. They ran to tell Peter, James, and John. He wasn't there. Oh, what a glorious day. I can only imagine that Easter morning. So this Easter, even though we weren't able to put on our Easter hat, our Easter suit, wasn't able to, some folks like to dye Easter eggs and hide Easter eggs and give out Easter baskets. That's fine. That's fine. You weren't able to do all of that and show love and appreciation to family and friends by your generosity of giving. But we're still here, saints, and we owe God another praise. And so I hope and pray that your Resurrection Sunday, even though it was a little different, it was still special. It was still special. I hope you were able to tune in. You know, we don't have a lot of announcements because a lot of stuff is not going on in the city. But there's Facebook Live. People are doing Zoom. People are doing Instagram. People are having telephone conferences. But people are using the blog talk. So the word is made available to us. There's TBN. There's TV One. There's BET. There's your local religious channels. So don't let your Sundays just be a time where you just sleep all day long and you do nothing. But get up and find a place that you can bring worship into your home. Turn that living room into a sanctuary. Turn that bedroom into a sanctuary where you can go forth in your praise. The Bible says that he inhabits the praise of his people. And he didn't say we had to be at the church. He said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, I'd be in the midst. So if you need somebody to be in the room with you, call your brother, call your sister, and say, hey, let's have some church. Amen. Tonight I want to, before we go into prayer, just want to say that throughout the city there are so many places that are having food pantries. You might know somebody that's in need of a food pantry, and you might be in need of some food. But I just wanted to let you know tonight some of these places that you can go to go and get food. I know this Wednesday, New Hope Missionary Baptist Church at 3725 North Gantenbein will be giving out food boxes. That's this Wednesday at New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. There are several community food pantries open. So tomorrow, the Salvation Army on North Williams Avenue will be open from 9:30 to 11:15 and then from 1 to 3:45. And then on Tuesday, the food pantry is C3 Food Pantry. They are located at 6120 Northeast 57th Avenue, and that's from 12 to 1. Jefferson High School's food pantry will also be open on Tuesday, and they're open on the commercial side, Commercial Street, and that address is 574 Northeast Alberta, and that's from 1 to 3:30. Again, Tuesday, Jefferson High School food pantry on the Commercial Street side from 1 to 3, 574 Northeast Alberta Street. On Tuesday, Reynolds High School, their food pantry will be open from 3:30 to 5:30. They are located in Troutdale, Oregon. The address is 1698 Southwest Cherry Park Road. That's Tuesday at Reynolds High School, located at 1698 Southwest Cherry Park Road in Troutdale, Oregon. And that's from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. On Thursday, Roosevelt High School and Woodlawn Elementary School and King School, their pantry will be open from 11 to 1 on Thursday at the King School, 4906 Northeast 6th Avenue. David Douglas High School on Thursday, their address is 1034 Southeast 130th Avenue. And that'll be from 5 to 7 p.m. You want to enter through the entrance on 130th Avenue. Go to the roundabout for curbside pickup. And then again on Friday, Salvation Army and Jefferson High School, their food bank will be open. So if you know anyone that needs food or you yourself need food, I know that sometimes we run out of fresh fruit or vegetables. You can always go to any of these food pantries. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your family. We don't want anyone to go hungry during this time that we are in quarantine. If you can't go out and you need somebody to go out for you, please reach out to somebody. Don't be ashamed. Don't be too proud to say, I need some help. I need someone to help me. If you want more information, please email me at gssmbc@yahoo.com. I can give you all of this information if you want to email me. It's just quite a bit. But you can email me. Again, my email address is gssmbc@yahoo.com. Amen. I would like for us to now prepare our hearts and minds to go before the Lord in prayer. We've got so much to be praying about, so much to be thinking about. But just for a few moments, if we could lift up our servicemen and women, lift up those that are living in homes where domestic violence is the norm, individuals that are living at home alone and they're not used to being in the house all day and all night. Pray for those that have mental health issues, those who have substance abuse issues. Let's pray. Let's keep them lifted up in prayer. Let's saturate our prayer tonight and lift up those families. Pray for those who were laid off and those who had to close businesses. Let's pray for those that are grieving. Death is so much. Might not be dying from the coronavirus, but people are still dying. And because we are in this shelter in place, they can't gather to have a funeral. They can't gather to have their children and their nieces, nephews, and cousins come and be with them. This is a different time. So we want to keep those families lifted up in prayer. Also want to pray for our children that are having to experience this and not really having the full knowledge of what's going on or the full understanding of what's going on. Maybe mom and daddy are not really taking this thing too serious, and they're still living life as normal. You just don't go to school, and I just don't go to work, but we still go and do what we want to do, and any and everybody can still come over our house. Let's pray for our children. Let's pray that God will give mothers and fathers the knowledge and the information to help them with their education. Pray for those seniors that were supposed to graduate from high school and from college. All of the graduates, all the promotions, they're not getting to happen. So let's keep all of those close to our hearts as we go before God in prayer. And as you pray this week, because everything might be fine for you, still so much to pray for. Let's pray together. Most gracious and holy Father, we come before you tonight, God, and we want to say how much we adore you, how much we appreciate you, how much we magnify you, how much we lift you up, Father God. Lord, we're just giddy like a child at Christmas today because of your goodness, Lord, because of your faithfulness, because of your mercy that you have shown towards us, your grace, Father. Lord God, tonight we call you holy, we call you faithful, we call you loving, we call you our healer, our deliverer, we call you waymaker. God, we appreciate you so much today, Lord. Father, we just pause to say thank you for what you did on the cross. And as the song said earlier, it was not the nails that held you there, Father, but it was your love, God, that you stayed on that cross. You didn't say a mumbling word. You gave up the spirit and you hung your head and the locks of your shoulders. Father, you allowed them to bury you in a borrowed tomb, Father. And Lord God, early that Sunday morning, you got up with all power in your hand that we may have life and have life more abundantly. Those of us that believe, those of us who have called upon your name, God, we're just so grateful tonight. Thank you, Father, for blessing us to see another Resurrection Sunday. Thank you, Lord, for giving us another opportunity to open our mouths and praise you and make our souls make a boast in you. Father, we just bless you tonight. We honor you tonight, oh God. Father, we just appreciate you for all that we've heard and seen this day. Let what we've heard today, Father, continue to minister to us, continue to give us hope, continue, Father, to keep a smile on our face, joy in our heart, a dancing in our feet, and clapping in our hands. Let us feast on what we receive today, Father. Then, God, don't let us be selfish, but let us share. Let us pour into someone else. Let us tell someone else of the goodness of Jesus Christ. Not be ashamed of the gospel, but let us rightly divide the word of truth. For as we said this morning, it's the foundation, your word and our faith is the very foundation on which we stand upon today. So, God, we honor you now. We thank you, Father, for this time, and we thank you for the word that's about to come forth, Father. I pray tonight, Father, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, oh, God, be acceptable in your sight. Father God, you are my strength, and you are my redeemer. I give you praise and glory and honor. I pray tonight, Father, that this word, God, would fall fresh on the ears, hearts, and minds of your people. I pray, oh God, tonight that this word will stir up, Father, a spirit within us to not only be a hearer of your word, but to be a doer. God, make it plain tonight that even the babies understand. Make it plain tonight so that when we leave from this time of worship, this time of fellowship, this time of communing together with the saints, that we will share this word. So, Father, tonight, help us hide your word in our hearts that we might not sin against you. Help us, God, to meditate on your word, that we may think on your word, that we may speak your word, that we may live your word. Father, we bless you, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. Just for a few moments, I want to kind of just, I'm going to try to have a conversation tonight. I get excited about the Word of God. I love the Word of God. But tonight, I really want the body of Christ to hear what the Lord is speaking to us. You know, during this time, people are trying to figure out what do we really need to be doing. And people who have never watched the news before are now avid news watchers. People who have never read newspapers now are getting their hands on newspapers, or they're looking at information on the internet. They're searching to find out what we're supposed to be doing and inquiring about coronavirus. Good to have knowledge, good to have information. But for the body of Christ, what I hear God saying is that we need to hear God's voice in times like these. Saints, you and I have been given the invaluable gift of communication with God. We need to make sure that the soil of our hearts are soft and receptive to God. Tonight, just for a few moments, I want to talk about some different ways to receive the seed of his word. It is my prayer that we may commune with God to flourish as we engage in continual conversation with our loving, present Heavenly Father. John 16 and 13, and I'm going to give out a couple of scriptures. And tonight I'm using as my subject hearing God's voice. John 16 and 13, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible tonight. It says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, full and complete truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but he will speak whatever he hears from the Father, the message regarding the Son. And he will disclose to you what is to come." As we look at this verse, we see that Jesus here is talking. To the disciples, he's talking to the followers. You know, I read in the Sunday school lesson this morning that at the crucifixion, there were over 500 people there that witnessed the crucifixion. So I can just imagine that while Jesus was talking to the body of Christ, there was just about that many people gathered together. He had the first mega church, y'all. But he was talking to them, and he was letting them know that the Holy Spirit was going to come. And the Holy Spirit was only going to come after he was gone. He was letting them know that the Holy Spirit was going to come, and it was coming to give us patience so that we could patient how to discern right from wrong. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would show us things. He's talking to this congregation of people today, and the message that he was preaching to them, it's good for us. Because the Holy Spirit is here with us right now. It's our guide. It's our comforter. It's our teacher. And Jesus was telling those that were there that the nature, that the Holy Spirit was coming to show them their mission. What is it you're supposed to be doing? The Holy Spirit was coming to help them to deal with the oppositions that they were going to face. Saints of God, if we really stop to hear God's voice, if we really stop to take time to communicate with God, He's going to tell us what we need to do during this time of coronavirus, of this isolation period. And then the Holy Spirit will let us know about the final outcome. That congregation didn't fully understand these promises. It was only until after the crucifixion that they began to understand. The Holy Spirit was given free course to do what it was sent here to do, reveal truth to the disciples. And the disciples, once the truth was revealed to them, what did they do? They started writing it down. And we have it today. It's called the New Testament. God speaks. God desires to speak directly to us. As a good father, He longs to engage continual conversation. So great was His longing for communication that He had given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. You and I now have access to the heart of God through the Holy Spirit. We can know His will. We can know His voice. We can live with the knowledge of His love. John 16 and 13 says that when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide us into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He speaks. And He will declare to us the truth that's to come. If we are Christians, my brothers and sisters, the Spirit of truth has come. He dwells within us, and He longs to tell us how God feels about us. He longs to guide us to the Father's perfect, hopeful, and pleasing plans. That's what Jeremiah 29:11, always truthful. He will never guide us into something that isn't best for us. He will never speak hate or condemnation on us. John 16:13, my brothers and sisters, is a promise. He will declare to us what He hears the Father says. Let the truth that God desires to have, let it be real. Let it be life-transforming conversation. Let it sink into your heart. We've got nothing but time right now. None of us have to get up, run to the office, run to take the kids to school, run to take the clothes to the cleaners, run to the doctor, run to the dentist, run back to pick up the kids, run to the grocery store, run home and cook dinner, run out to go to worship, go to Bible study, go to choir. We have nowhere to go. We have nothing but time. Let's spend some time allowing our conversations to be life transforming. Let's let the Word of God seep into our hearts. Think about what it means for your own life to have communication with God. Our Creator longs to help us with all of our decisions. He longs to help us with our relationships, with our work, with our finances, and with our identity. God himself wants to talk with us about our lives, to fully know us and to be known. Just as a good parent loves talking with their children, our Heavenly Father loves talking to us, his children. You see, God speaking to you and to me is so little about our ability to hear his voice, and so much more about his desire for us to know him. His voice in our lives is just another product of grace, God's unmerited favor for those who believe. Like any conversation, you will only hear him when you are listening. And just like any good conversation, God longs to hear from you as well. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." King James says, "diligently seek him." I want to encourage you tonight, my brothers and sisters, have faith that God longs to speak to you. Draw near to him in the assurance that he is already filled you with his love. The Holy Spirit longs to have a communicative relationship with us. Let the weight of communication with God rest on his shoulders. Trust in his word and his character, and listen to whatever he would speak to us. As we spend time alone with God, your mind and your soul, turn off the TV, turn off the radio, get up early, stay up late. But quiet your mind and your soul to receive God's presence and meditate on the important truth that the Spirit speaks. Listen to him. Allow him to speak. If you have a situation or a question or anything you want to ask him, now is the time. God longs for us to tell him what we want help with. If we just want to know how he feels about us, ask him. The weight of God speaking is on him. Desires to speak to you. Then the other thing that you must do, my brothers and sisters, is write it down. We have a hard time sometimes writing things down. Take out the time to have that moment of meditation. My next point that I want to share with you is that God speaks through meditation. Psalms 119 and 15. The Bible says, "I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways." The spiritual discipline of meditation does for the heart of a Christian what nutrients and good soil do for the seed of a plant. Through meditation, the seed of God's word takes root and produces life-giving, abundant fruit. Richard Foster, in his book, Celebration of Discipline, wrote, "Meditation is to enable us to hear God more clearly." Meditation is listening, sensing, heeding the life and light of Christ. Meditation is listening, sensing, and heeding the light and life of Christ. This comes right to the heart of our faith. The life that pleases God is not a set of religious duties. It is to hear his voice and to obey his word. Meditation opens the door to the way of living. The Christian must practice meditation. Meditation is at its core. Meditating, reading, digesting the word of God. Meditation creates space for the Spirit to speak directly to our hearts and helps us to apply God's word to our lives. When we read in Lamentations 3 and 22, the Bible says the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never to an end. We must give God space to reveal all the ways in which his mercy and steadfast love are available to us. This blessed my heart as I began to my journey of meditation, and I found this to be so powerful. And I think this is what helped me get up early and open up the curtains, open up the window, and just sit on the couch in the corner with my book, my pen, and my Bible. This little saying right here says, it impels my meditation time. Listen, it says, meditation creates a pathway for Scripture to go past our minds and affect change within our hearts. Remember, I told you that our conversation needs to be life transforming? Well, the only way that you can have a conversation with God that can be life transforming is by meditation. Remember, saints, we don't have nowhere to go. We're not rushing off to get to work. We're not rushing off to go to the basketball game and make it to the football game. We got nothing but time. Why not invest that time in building our spiritual relationship with God? Meditation creates a pathway for Scripture to go past our minds and effect change within our hearts. Another powerful aspect of Christian meditation is mulling over the characteristics of God. Oh, last week, Lady Beth, she walked the floor giving us the characteristics of God. You need to know that God is loving, God is kind, God is faithful, God is merciful, God is gracious, God is good. God is patient. God is long-suffering. God is merciful. God is forgiving. God is temperate. We've got to know that. And when we spend time talking about that, writing it down and reading it, it helps us not feel hopeless. It helps us feel encouraged and feel empowered. I'd like to take next few moments to share a few passages of Scripture about the hope of God. I hope that you would find time to meditate on them. In the process of meditating on God's perfect character, let's remember that meditating on who God is powerful. Meditating on who God is powerful. It powerfully affects the way we view the world. Meditating on who God is powerfully affect the way we view the world. Psalms 1:1-3. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates when? Day and night. Told y'all we ain't got nothing but time. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. This week, my brothers and sisters, I pray that you will, you and I, to meditate on scriptures. Meditate on God's character. Meditate on who God is. God's perfect character. Meditate on his thoughts. Meditate on his precepts. In order for our emotions to come in line with the unchanging nature of our Heavenly Father. The only way we're going to be able to make it through these next 2-3 months during this time of being quarantined is to develop a habit and a skill of hearing God's voice. We do that by meditating. Choose a verse. Choose just one of God's characters. You don't have to choose them all, but just choose one. Meditate on it as you meditate on his word or his character. Again, allow the Holy Spirit, the one that's going to lead us to all truth, the one that's going to tell us about ourselves and tell us about the things to come, the one that's going to help us with our decisions, with our relationships. We need help teaching these children math, science, and English. Who can help us? Nobody but the Holy Spirit. Got to depend on it. Allow the Holy Spirit to apply God's word to your life as you meditate. Allow God's character to lay a foundation for your emotions. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be mad. It's okay to be confused. It's okay to be irritated and frustrated. But don't stay there, my brothers and sisters. Don't stay there. Fix your eyes on the ways of the Lord and meditate on his precepts. Take notes. Write down what you read. And then write down what you hear God saying. Rejoice in the power of God's word to transform your life and your heart. Meditation should be a daily practice for Christians. God's word was never meant to just be understood, but to be alive and active in his children. Scripture is meant to direct us and to becoming more like Jesus, both inwardly and outwardly in our actions. It's one of the best tools God has given us in taking the Bible from words on a page to a living and active lifestyle. This week, I pray that as you engage in meditation, I pray that it transforms your spiritual life, that it transform your marriage, that it transform the parent that you are, transforms the patient that you are, and the caregiver that you are, the mother that you are, the father that you are, the husband that you are, the wife that you are. Most importantly, I pray that it transforms you, your life, so that your neighbors will see God in you. We still have a assignment, a mandate on us to compel men and women to come to Christ. The coronavirus will bring the good news of Jesus Christ. So it's my prayer tonight that as we engage in meditation, that we would be filled with joy, power, and the fruit of the Spirit. Tonight, my brothers and sisters, I hope and pray that you've been blessed by the word tonight. I hope and pray that something was said that you found useful, that you can say, I can do that. I've got time. Now I just need to make space to meditate on the word of God that I may hear his voice so that when I come out of this, I'll have power to discern right from wrong. I'll have power to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'll be able to see the future more clearly and have a better understanding of the will and the perfect plan that God has for my life. Father, this week, as we commit ourselves to spending more time in your word, help us, Father God, to do exactly what Psalms 46 and 10 says. Help us to be still and know that you are God. Help us, oh God, this week to live in solitude. Solitude is a time set apart where the rush, the noise, and the anxiety of the world fall mute on our ears and our hearts. And we hear from you. Help us, Father, to experience solitude this week. For solitude is a time to be with you, free from the distractions of the world. We are starving for solitude, silence, and private time. Help us, oh God, to steal away, to meditate, and to pray. Rose up early in the morning while it was still dark. He went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. There he communed with the Father. And the old song says, if Jesus had to pray, what about me? So, Father, tonight, Holy Spirit, tonight, prepare our hearts and minds for a time of solitude. Help us to be still. Help us to meditate on the word of God and the character of God. Help us to hear the voice of our Savior, our Creator, our Sustainer, our Redeemer, Keeper, our provider, our way maker, our covering, our protector. Help us to know him in all of his glory. Father, we commit ourselves to you tonight as a living sacrifice because it's our heart's desire to hear your voice and to be more like you on the inside as well as the outside. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Thank you for tuning in to the Light of Portland broadcast. I hope and pray that you've been blessed by our time together. Please share this phone number with someone. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your neighbor that every Sunday night at 8 o'clock, you could hear a word from the Lord. You can hear something that's going to strengthen you and help you through the week. So tonight I want to say I love you. Be blessed, my brother. Be blessed, my sister. And I pray that your Resurrection Sunday will even be better than you could have ever imagined. Why? Because you spent time with us tonight on the Light of Portland broadcast. We love you. and there's nothing you can do about it. Until next Sunday, have a good week and enjoy talking to the Lord. Good night.